بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت فريد الدين گنج شکر رحمۃ اللہ علیہ از دا خلیفہ آف حضرت قطب الدین بختیار کاکی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. اٹس نائس ٹو ہیو سم انٹروڈکشن آف دا مشائخ آف دا سلسلہ. اینڈ اپارٹ فرام دا مشائخ آف دا سلسلہ ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ دا ٹرین آف تھاٹ. The train of thought is different, and what you may understand may be different. So with the information that you have, that information has to be reconciled with this thought process that's come from above. Otherwise, the information is taking you one direction, and your thinking is taking you in another direction. And you may think that you are saying and thinking the right. الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنْعًا. As a result, what happens is your efforts are wasted. Within your mind you think that you're doing the right. But in reality what is happening is the effort is being wasted. So this happens when knowledge is confined to book information. Your guidance, your instruction is from the book. Not that you do not require the book information, but how reliable, how authentic, are you conforming with that original thought, or have you moved away from that original thought? That is why you hear of the Sahaba, As-Sahabi kal-Nujum, As-Sahabi kal-Nujum, right? My Sahaba are like stars. But then if you look within the Sahaba ikram, then all of them are not muhakkiks, specialists. You cannot say that every Sahabi was a specialist in his field. He studied so hard. In spite of them not specializing, but Nabi Sam endorsed them that Ashabi kan Nujum, that all of them are stars. That if you follow any one of them, you will not be misguided. Hence, our Mashayikh say the importance of Sohbat is far greater than the importance of knowledge. Generally, it is understood that knowledge is greater than suhbat. But the experience of our mashayikh is this, that the importance of suhbat, right association, is far greater than just information. Person has got just information, also see what's happening in America and some of the Western countries, that you are getting ulama-i kiram and they are dynamic speakers. They come up with suit, a tie, clean shaven, and they're giving dynamic talks. You cannot fault the talks. Talks are so powerful. But are they guides? And then you contrast them with the Sahaba and you say, kulluhum nujum, all of them are stars. So what's the difference between the Sahaba and these people? The only difference that you can think of is they had that association. Right? And that association coupled with knowledge, and they were guides. You will not be misled in the company of a Sahabi. Whichever the Sahabi, or in our sight, all of them are great. But within them there'll be a variance of rank. In our side, all of them, all the Anbiya are great. Within them, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Allah Ta'ala has exalted one above the other. But in our side, we will take each one of them as great. to illustrate this point, you know, that sohbat is greater. One person was on his way out. So he was a physician by trade, but he's on his way out, and he thought to himself, now that I'm on my way out, I need to get my child to the surgery, right? So that the home can continue after me. But for the home to continue, then he must know the profession. Let me train him up. So anyway, he joined his father for a few days, and then there was a call out in the old days, I remember. Doctors generally would make a home visit. So now he had to make a home visit, and as the custom is, procedure is, he felt the pulse, and he says to the patient that you had some nachis to eat, something cold, I can see from your pulse. So the patient seemed to be embarrassed, yes, I had something like that to eat. So anyway, now, as they moved out of the house, he asked the father, but how did you make out? How were you so precise? How were you so correct? He said, no, I saw the pulse wasn't right. And then I looked underneath the bed, there was some mandarin peels there. So I made out. So now he's half-baked, no association. It's a few days he stayed with his father. So father died, he had to take the place of the father. The call out now, he goes into the house, says, now I know the procedure, look at the patient, put your hand there, and then look under the bed. So he looks at the bed and he says, no, you've been eating some leather, some carpet you've been eating. So, boy, is leather and carpet something to eat? So, no, whatever you say, but you've been eating. So they changed, they threw him out. See, this association brings you to the right understanding. There must have been some reason. Emphasis on association, emphasis on right association. And unfortunately, this has been sidelined. All the emphasis is just on the zahir, just on education, education, education. How much is the education getting into the heart? How much is it penetrating? So this Fariduddin Ganja Shekhar Rahmatullah Ali says, Azharji is relating the story, I don't know how many times he mentioned the story to us. But obviously, the stories come up with morals, right? So he was wanting that this morals go deep into within our system. So he says that, I met up with these 500 awliya, and I put forward to them four questions. And all the answers were alike, all exactly the same. One question that I put across to them was, Aqil kon hai? Aqil, you talk of intelligent, right? So, Aqil kon hai? So, all's reply was, Jisko ma'rifat hasil hai, wo Aqil hai. Who's got the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, then he's Aqil, he's intelligent. Some days back, I was walking into the office. I'm thinking to myself, you know, I need to explain the right meaning of ma'rifat. But I must explain the meaning of ma'rifat in a way that it sinks into the mind of the simplest of person. So as I'm thinking, Allah Pak put a thought in my mind, okay, this is how you will explain it. Right? Obviously, ilm and understanding comes from Allah Ta'ala. يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah Ta'ala explains. You may just get the wording, but the essence of it, who gives it? Someone asked, Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that you are such a great person. You, the likes of Mawlana Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali, the likes of Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and what was the need for you to sit in the company of Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, but not even completed his formal studies? You are like kings of knowledge, and he hasn't yet even completed his formal studies, and then you are to sit at his company. So they gave different replies. One reply was, we may be alims, lekin ye to alim ghar hai. We maybe have the textbook knowledge, but these are people that don't just have the textbook knowledge, they will make ulama. In other words, the true spirit of knowledge, what it is, they have it. The flavor, they have it. We have the wording and they have the flavor. On one occasion, more time I explained, that try and understand the difference, right? One is association of the righteous, pious mushaykh, and one is the ilm and the knowledge, book, you know, textbook knowledge, right? He says, imagine one person knows the names of all mithais, right? They are using mithais. This is sutar finni, this is gulab jamun, this is gajar halwa, this is whatever, right? So he knows all the names, but he's not tasted anyone. He knows every one of them. By name he knows everyone, but he's not tasted a single one. Right? And there is another person who doesn't know the names of any one of them, but he's tasted all and he knows each one's property. You eat gajar halwa, this will be the effect, right? You eat gulab jamun, this is what will be the effect. And he's tasted each one of them. So I ask you, who is muhtaj to who? The one who's got the knowledge of it or the one who's tasted it? Who knows the property of it? So Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi got the essence of it. He's got the flavor, he's got the taste, and he's eaten it. We've just got the word. The word is something else. The flavor and the actual thing is totally different. What happens to us, we feel that we got the word, so we got the essence of it. Now that's a big, big mistake. Great mistake. So taqwa is a different thing, and ilm is a different thing. If both were the same, Allah wouldn't have said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Taqwa is a different thing, and ilm is a different thing. Right? So, ilm is different, and deen is different. When you say, there's a nisbat izafi, right? Ilmu deen, right? And in the muzaf and the muzaf ilay, there must be a difference. Can't be the same thing. So the mistake we have made, we feel that we have got ilm, so we have got deen. This is the mistake. Or who can express himself better than his knowledge is more profound? Whereas the hadith is saying something totally different. لَعَلَّ بَعْدَكُمْ أَلْحَنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. It's possible that one person can express himself better than the other. And I may be inclined towards the person that is more profound. He can speak more eloquently, he's presenting his case better. I may be inclined towards him. But does that mean that what he's saying is right? Yeah. The person is speaking more eloquently, he can present himself more beautifully. Right? This person can't present himself so well. But is that an argument in his favor? Even in court, this person who can speak more eloquently, and he can speak more profoundly, more correct, accurate, right? He's got the right choice of words, then the court also is inclined to pass the judgment in his favor. But does that mean that he is right in what he's doing? Now the court started the same thing. They look at the argument, and then they see whose case is presented better. He's presenting his case better, the choice of word is better, he is more eloquent, so they will pass the judgment in his favor. But does that mean that he is right in what he's doing? Does that mean that that property is permissible? Therefore, the hadith sounds a warning. لَأَلَّ بَعْدَكُمْ أَلْحَنَ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. Maybe more eloquent, right? But if you know that you're eating up your brother's wealth, فَإِنِّي أَقْطَعُ لَهُ قِطْعَةً مِنَ النَّارِ, then I am giving you a piece of fire to eat. I am assigning a piece of fire. Now you were more eloquent, you presented your case better, choice of words were excellent. But does that mean that that property belongs to him? Now unfortunately this is what's happening in this age. Okay, we see the eloquence, we see the presentation, we see how exciting the presentation is, and then we are inclined towards the person. Well, the Sahaba Ikram's whole style was totally different. Whole style was different, their ways were different, their mannerisms were different. What they learned very well was taqwa. The taqwa was rooted in the hearts. The ilm and supported with a high level of taqwa. In the time of Hisham bin Abdul Malik, Abdul Malik is the son of Marwan, and his son is Abdul Malik. Now Hisham is the grandchild of Marwan. He's entering into Roman territory, and the whole Jamaat is being captured, right? Taken as captives. And the king demands that you must accept Christianity. Islam was always under trial. There wasn't a time that Islam wasn't under trial. Where we make a mistake, and why is Islam always going through difficulty? You know, when in history do you find that Islam wasn't under trial? Nabi Sam lived 13 years in Madinah, Makkah Mukarrama. Wasn't he under trial? Wasn't he jeered? Wasn't he abused? Wasn't he insulted? When the Sahaba Ikram made Shaheed, didn't it happen? So it happened all the time. Then until Sulh Hudaybiyah, around the 6th year, 19 years, approximately 20 years of the life of Nubuwwat from the 23 years is under trial and difficulty. So Islam was always under trial. Now to say, you know, why is it under trial? Why are they insulting Islam? Why you didn't understand Islam? For Islam to rise, for Islam to shine, it needs a challenge, right? Someone was asking me about taqwa. Strange question, someone asked about taqwa, someone asked about bayat, you know. So I'll come to this story again, right? So I explained to him, taqwa and how taqwa works. One is the translation and how taqwa works and what does taqwa do to you. إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. One place, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. Allah Pak gives you a light. One place Allah Pak gives you the direction, one place He says gives you the light. Imagine now there is no light, can you see? Can you get to your ends? So the taqwa will give you that end. The taqwa will give you the direction. According to the text of the Quran, the taqwa will give it to you. Right? Now what is, how this taqwa works? So if you see, this whole world has been created with some type of challenge. And when there's a challenge, then something opens out. There's a challenge, then something opens out. See, in an engine, there must be some combustion, right? There must be some challenge. When there's a challenge, that petrol is charging against something, there's a fire. And that fire is giving you what? It's moving, the movement. It's giving you not only movement, that fire is giving you light. That fire is giving you light, it's giving you movement. So it happened, how it happened, there had to be a combustion. There had to be a trial. One had to knock against the other. When one knocked against the other, when one rubbed against the other, then there was a trial. And the result of the trial was a fire. The result of it was a light. The result of it was a direction, right? Now, we want, no, I learnt it, so I must just get it. No, you're not going to get it. So you have to go under the trial. Now, how the trial works? So there's two forces within you, right? The one force is saying, just do it, man. The girl, now just look. There's music, just listen, right? There's one force that is telling you, every human being has got it. You can't say that there is a human being that doesn't have this inclination. He has this, right? Any wrong, any temptation, his mind is consumed, right? So he's got that temptation. Now against the temptation is your deen, right? Your ru. Your ru saying don't do it. Right? So this thing, the temptation is pushing one side and your deen is pushing you that don't do it. This thing is saying do it and this thing is saying don't do it. So there's a combustion. There's a trial. Can you see there's a challenge, right? The greater the challenge, then the greater the light, the greater the challenge, the greater the direction. There's no challenge, so there's not going to be enough light. There's no challenge, there's not going to be enough direction. So you need to have the challenge, and the greater the challenge, then the greater the light. The greater the challenge, the greater the direction. There is that firm push within you. Temptation is going, and it's going really, it's putting you out of control, right? And you're pushing against it. Temptation is saying, listen to it. It's wrong that's taking place, that's going on. And the temptation is saying, listen to it. Sometimes it's ghibat, right? And generally this happens in madrasas, right? Ghibat happens, right? So it happens in very, very unique ways. So sometimes you're going to be discussing on masla, alright, you discuss on masla, and then in the process of you discussing a masla, then you may quote someone, yeah, what he knows. Now, you need to ask within yourself, that does this amount to ghibat or not? What he knows? So just one word, and you said, what does he know, right? If he was here in the madrasa, he would have to be in Edadia. So, did you make ghibat or not? Did you then disgrace him? And then isn't this arbar riba, the worst form of riba? And sometimes it happens in a very unique way, very strange way. I'm making ghibat of a person, but in a very polished, in a very glossy way. Better don't talk about him. Sorry, don't talk about him. So when I said don't talk about him, I've ran the person down. I've already made the ghibat. Within my mind, I feel that I haven't done the ghibat. I'm very clean. And then there is one sophisticated way, a Sufi way, to make ghibat, right? So we spoke about someone, and I don't like the person, right? For some reason, I don't like the person. So the Sufi way now, a very polished way to make ghibat, so you know, we all gunegars, make dua, Allah Pak forgive us all. We all gunegars, so make guna for us, for me, for him, everybody make guna, make dua, Allah Pak forgive all of us. I ask you, have you run the person down or not? But isn't it a very polished way, a very glossy way of making ghibat? So this struggle is going to be there all the time. It's going to be there all the time. So one is saying do it, one is saying don't do it. One is saying do it, one is saying don't do it. Right? You're not going to, there's not going to be a time where this struggle is not going to be there. Sometimes it's a picture of a girl or something that is haram, right? So just one look, just once. Because now your nafs will start playing games with you. And the nafs will say, you know, the first look is permissible, so look at it, right? See now how it's giving you, how it's legitimizing. That the first look is permissible, so then look at it. Now, it's a misconstruing of the hadith. See, the taqwa, the lack of taqwa made you fail to understand the right meaning of the hadith. When you thought that the first glance is permissible, that you are allowed, in other words, you can deliberately look at that girl. That first glance is permissible means it's an accidental look, not a deliberate look. Now deliberately say, hey, this girl I need to see once at least, you know. At least once. One person came here. He traveled about 400 km to come and see me. An important thing, a couple of halat and masail and all that he had to. But just for that he came. So he says to me in the process, he says, no, we're going to have a family get together, you know. And the family get together, there's going to be a mixed gathering. And some of my girl cousins are telling me that, you know, come what may, but we're going to give you a hug. You know, we want to give you a hug, you know, just sort of family sake, you know. Because we are family, I need to give you that hug. Now, he's asking, what must I do? Is it ulta sida family? And it's an ulta sida family. And the girl is telling him already, making it forward, advance, that I have to give you a hug. What must I do? So this combustion, this trial, this challenge is going to be at every level. Every step of your life, there's going to be a trial. There's going to be a struggle. Right? Now, when the temptation, the fire of temptation is high, and you're pressing against it, now the light that will be given off will be very high. the light that will be given off will be very high. Initially now, where people make a mistake, so now after I've practiced this for some time, now there's no struggle. So if there's no struggle now, will I get no light? No, you're going to still get the light. Now you feel that there is no struggle because you used to it. You used to now restraining, refraining, abstaining, used to it. So it doesn't mean that now that you have learned the exercise, there's not going to be any light. Yes, it's going to become lighter. It's going to become brighter and lighter because you've learned it. You have learned some discipline. When you have learned the discipline, so now that will become like natural. So you're going to be tried in taqwa all the time. This challenge is going to be all the time. Sometimes it's going to come under the pretexts of a dawat after Isha in summer, right? Dawat is going to start after Isha in summer. So Isha namaz is 8:45. By the time you come to the brai, it's already 9:30. By the time you ignite and start it off, it's 10:00. Then when everything is served, it's about 11:00. And when you finish, it's about 12:30, 1:00. Coming to sleep, it's about 1:30. Now you want to get up for Fajr namaz, perfectly normal. Something definitely will be abnormal. You'll either miss out the Fajr namaz, or either miss out a rakat, or either miss out your tahajjud, or either miss out some of your recitation of the Quran Sharif at that portion of the night, or you may perform the Fajr namaz, but half-heartedly. Now, does Allah Ta'ala deserve that? If a worker comes to your shop, and he worked, he's coming half-heartedly, his mind is somewhere else. Mind is totally somewhere else, and he's coming and working in your shop. I'd ask you, do you appreciate that? But you want Allah Ta'ala must appreciate. Allah Ta'ala, I made so much of sacrifice, I was tired, I still got up, I still took the courage to come to your house, and I performed the two rakats, then I went to sleep, oh Allah Ta'ala, so you must accept this from me. That's the mindset we have. So I ask you, is that in keeping with taqwa? Does Allah Ta'ala deserve this type of a treatment? For our own finishes, one person was telling me that there is a word like finish in English and complete, you know. But complete and finish both are more or less the same meaning, complete and finish. But can you give the difference? What's the difference between finish and complete? But both outwardly seem to be identical, finish and complete. So he says, the answer to it, he says, see, when you are married, you are complete, right? But if you got married to the wrong woman, then you are finished. But if you got caught with the wrong woman, then you are completely finished. So this is what we feel, that we have completed, finished, everything is over. Now, it's a different thing altogether. Ilm is different and taqwa is different. So when the taqwa is complete, then the light is complete. The taqwa is complete, the direction is complete. But if the taqwa is deficient, then the light is deficient. There may be few verses just about ilm, right? But the verses on taqwa, how many? Nearly every sipara is taqwa, taqwa, ittaqullah, ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqu. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqu. In some verses, I'm looking in the Quran Sharif, some verses, in one single verse, the taqwa is repeated twice. Amanu ittaqullah wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li ghad wattaqullah. Starting of uttaqwa, ending of uttaqwa. You want a provision to the akhirat? Watazawwadu fa inna khayra zadi ittaqwa. The best provision is taqwa. Hummilu attawrata thumma lam yahmiluha. They didn't apply taqwa to that ilm, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا. They acquired it, but they didn't apply that perspective of taqwa. Then the example that Allah is showing, similarly, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ. It's as good as an ass. As that ass has got a load of books over its back, and it's of no use to it. So you've got a load and a ton of books, but you're not applying it. The simile Allah is giving is that of an ass. Can you imagine how serious it becomes? That there is that ilm, but there's no taqwa. So we're talking about this قطب الدین ہیں, بختیار کاکی رحمۃ اللہ, فرید الدین گنج شکر رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. And I said in between this question this person asked, right? So I showed you what is taqwa. Then another person came along, he said, Mawlana, show me what is bayat now. What is bayat? Right. I still have to come to that marifat, right? Show me what is the meaning of bayat. So I told him, see, bay in Arabic refers to selling, to sale, a trade, right? Up till now, when you agree on a deal, then you say, we shook hands at it. Don't you say that? We signed the deal and we shook hands. What is meant by shook hands? In other words, both parties had accepted. You accepted, the buyer and the seller, they have confirmed the deal. So they shook hands at it. Don't you say that? So this was an age, old age practice, when both parties have agreed on something, right? Call it a pledge, call it a covenant, call it an agreement, then they would shake hands. So when you have taken bayat as though you have promised, you have pledged. But the pledge is such, a contract is such that it happens from both sides. Right? The lessee says that I will pay you a rental of 1,000, right? The lessor says I will give you my promise. So a contract happens from both sides, not a one-sided thing. The lessee says that I will give you 1,000 rands, and the lessor says, well, I'll give you my car for a month, right? Right? So it's a both sides. Then the contract is complete. I am giving you 1,000 rand, but you're not giving me a premise. I am giving you 1,000 rand, but you're not giving me a motor car. Then you say that the contract is incomplete. So we talk of bayat, then it's a two-sided contract. Any contract is two-sided. Right. So on the side of the murid, right, then he's contracted to commit himself. He's contracted to commit himself to what? Right. He's contracted to commit himself in two respects. Overall, he's contracted, he's confirmed, he's promised to commit himself on the sunnah, on the sharia, on the sunnah, right? But the sunnah and the sharia has got two dimensions. One is the outer, one is the inner. The outer, everybody knows about it. What is faraz in namaz? What is nafal? What is the faraz of zakat, what is the faraz of sawm, everybody knows about it, right? But what people get confused and perplexed is about the inner dimension, right? Do I have jealousy within me? Do I have pride and arrogance within me? Am I malicious towards someone? Right? Do I have greed within me, right? Do I have contentment within me? Am I appreciative, right? Do I have patience and perseverance, right? Do I have that sabr and patience within me? All these things that have been commanded by Allah Ta'ala. So the inner aspect, the inner dimension, then people generally have a confusion, do I have it or not? Right. One is they have a confusion in diagnosing whether they have a problem like pride and jealousy, whether they have a problem like arrogance and jealous and what you call greed, or not, right? So to diagnose it is a problem, and thereafter to treat the problem, that's another problem. One is to diagnose it, and then is to look for a solution, that's another problem. Sometimes what happens is, I think that I don't have it, and really I do have it. Sometimes it is that, for a short period, I do go through some spiritual phase, I feel very righteous, I want to be in the masjid, and the degree of the fear of Allah Ta'ala is high within me, right? And I feel very humble within myself. But it's a temporary phase that I'm going through. It's not a lasting, continuous thing. And when it's not a lasting, continuous thing, then I think I've already got it, I don't need to work for it any longer. Sometimes the confusion comes to mind that, no, this is something that is unsurmountable, you can't acquire this. It's such a difficult thing, it's for the people of the past, now you can't acquire it. So what you are doing, you are saying that deen is taklif ma la yutaq. What are you saying? What are you amounting to? That is something that it is not within the scope of my acquiring it. So you're saying that Allah Ta'ala is, you burden me with something that I can't manage. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. So now in all this, then you need someone to guide you. Right? Because the outer, I say, everybody more or less knows it. The inner, this is the area of problem. And when I say the outer, everybody knows about it, then when you are committing yourself, you want to say you want to practice the deen, right? Then when you say you want to practice the deen, then it's pointless you come in and say, you know, Hazrat, you know what, now and then make Badr Nazri. But you know it's haram, then why are you doing it? What you already know, that you guard yourself. What you are confused and you don't know, that's what you work on. Now every now and then, you know, Badr Nazri, I mean, Ghibat, you know about it, then why are you doing it? Simple question. You know that namaz, then why aren't you practicing? You're saying, no, I want to become a committed Muslim. But then you are delayed for namaz. What you know about, you're not practicing, then where's the commitment? Yes. What you don't know about, or you don't know how to acquire it, that is the area of struggle. That's the area that you need to work. The area that you already know about, then you work on it, then you be committed on that. But the area that you're having confusion, doubts, reservations, this is the actual area that you need to be working upon. And because it is an amr, it's a command, وَالْأَمْرُ لِلْوُجُوبِ Right? قَوْلُ الْآمِرِ عَلَىٰ سَبِيلِ الْإِسْتِعْلَىٰ Right? The amir is saying you from a position of authority that do this, if al-kada. So that becomes wajib, that becomes compulsory. So that means then this inner self, correcting the inner self and flushing out the wrong, correcting it into the right, becomes an obligation. Now, let's touch that marifat. Before the marifat, let us give a small illustration, right? Small little illustration. If there is a small little problem in the outer self, you want to correct it, right? There's a little bit of skin allergy. Hey, I need to get this right now. Teeth is not straight. I need to put the braces, right? There's a little bit of a boiling. I need to correct it, right? The tile in the house, that's a wrong tile. I need to correct that. But in the Quran and the Hadith, there's nowhere that's mentioned, why if the tile is wrong, go and correct the thing. Nowhere. That your teeth is wrong, now put the brace and get it right. Nowhere. Show me one sipara, one Hadith that he's showing. I don't say look untidy, but show me one nas, one clear. That little paint that's scratched off now, go and correct it on the car. It's scratched off now, and it's looking very ugly now. That I'll be pining about to correct it. And until I don't have it right, I get a headache. I know people, they're sleeping, and something is wrong on the roof. There's a small little bit of dust there. They can't sleep. Until that dust is wiped out. And they mistakenly consider themselves to be a buzruk like Mirza Mazhar Jada Rahmatullahi. But he was like that, so I'm like that. See, there's misconstrued, no guide. They're bepire. Now, look at this. This is one side of the story. But there's so much of lions and tigers within us. Do we feel the discomfort? The tile is out of its place, we feel discomfort, uncomfortable, right? There's a small child ate a sweet and threw it in the passage. We feel very uncomfortable. Shout him, right? And if it is that he ate the sweet or the chewing gum and he stuck it on the wall, then you give him one smack. What is this? You think it's the zoo, this? You're so worried and so worked about. But I ask you, the lion and the tiger is within us. The pride that's within us, the jealousy that's within us, the malice that's within us. These things here, do we feel uncomfortable? Do we feel restless about it? Or that we feel, now we have covered already, we learnt about it. But knowing is something and having it is something. Knowing is a different thing and having it is a different thing. Right? I learned driving, but that doesn't mean that I can drive. No, I learned it only, but driving is totally different. It's a different thing altogether. This is the mistake I've made. So now, let's come to the last thing, we talk about marifat, right? So, as I walked in the office, asking Allah, marifat, show me in a very simple way, I can understand it, everybody else can also understand it. But it's so simple, The weakest of person can understand it. And if you understand it, you must understand it right to the roots. Right to the roots, you must understand it. So the example that came in my mind, It's wealth, right? Now we got the marifat of wealth. We got the understanding and the recognition of wealth. When we have got a recognition and understanding of wealth, we'll dedicate approximately 20 years of the child's life towards the security of wealth, right? From the age of 4, 1-2 years before he can get into primary school, till matric, how many years? 14 years, right? And at least another 4-5 years in university, right? To be safe, 6 years, 20 years, right? So 20 years for what? For material. Why? We understood how important material is. We understood how important wealth is, right? We don't want the child to be a pauper. We don't want him to be garib. We don't want him to be begging around, right? So the importance of wealth has dawned upon us. So we dedicate 20 years of the child's life into that education, right? The marifat of wealth has gone so deep within us that we won't mind forcing that girl out of the house. You also become materially very secure. You learn it, even though ulama are speaking out against it, but you know you have to do something for a living. You must also get out of the house and learn something. Why? That understanding, that recognition, that fear. She said understanding, that recognition had come to the level of fear. It became a fear. That you push that girl out of the house, you go and learn it yourself. So 20 years you have dedicated just for that material, right? Whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl, just for the material security producer. Even though you're crossing lines with the Sharia, sometimes you're crossing lines, but you don't want to listen to the story. In a talk, you don't want to be listening to it. Why, you know, it's against the grain. I didn't come for all this shouting. I didn't come for this reprimanding. Why are they talking about this thing here? Talk about a nice thing, you know. When you go to a physician, then you are going to that physician, a doctor must tell you, you got a heart problem. You know, you're such a good person, such a good health you got. Mashallah, lifestyle I really enjoy. Do you go there for entertainment and listening to stories? Or you go there to understand your problems? Then you know how to start off. And if he's been giving you good stories, nice stories all the time for the last 10 years, and after 10 years you discovered that cancer is advanced to the last degree now, you can't reverse that thing. And it started 10 years ago. What will you say to the doctor? That you knew about this, you've seen the symptoms, but you couldn't guide me. Won't you be upset with the doctor? So it was his duty. That was a contract. You see, you talk of bi'at. It's a contract. I showed you now that the murid, he will contract himself to the sheikh about all his weaknesses. And the sheikh also is not free here, because he'll contract himself. I said a contract is two-sided. So the sheikh will contract himself to his islah, to his correction. The small problems or the bigger problems, but he will contract himself. He will assign himself that I need to correct you, whether it's a small problem or whether it's a big problem. But the problem dawns on you, how it dawns on you, is with association. As you associate, right, you'll begin to understand. But that association must be with a commitment. It must come with a concern and a commitment. You associate, you sit by the person with a commitment and with a concern. Now it's like an X-ray machine. I see this is the fault in me. I need to correct myself. But you don't commit yourself, then really I feel it's a breach of trust. It's a breach now, because you've contracted. When you have contracted, then about wealth we are so particular, you know. Wealth we are so particular, there mustn't be a breach of trust. In my employment, I'm so particular, there mustn't be a breach of trust. But I ask you, this is also a trust. It's a contract. When it's a contract, a contract is a commitment. And a commitment needs to be done from both sides. So if you are playing your part, then you give the chef a chance also to correct you. But now you take it very casually, very easily. No, now he's in charge. He was playing remote control. Remote control, he must correct me. Look into my computer site and just correct me, right? That button is off. Let's put it like this here. This part here needs to be corrected like this. It will correct it. Why? Does it happen in the world? You need to have a filling and you want the doctor to be correcting you from a remote control. Does it happen? For small little things, we want to correct it. A little bit of tooth problem. But this, وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Look at it. Look at this verse. وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. The heart is under trial now. Allah Ta'ala, the heart is under trial. What's the ikhlas? What's the sincerity? Where's the show? Where's the gratitude? Where's the ungratitude, right? So this is under trial. And we're talking of marifat, right? I showed you the marifat of wealth. So when you have the marifat of wealth, when you have the recognition of wealth, what happens? What makes you do? Then you can break relationship with your brother permanently, just because of wealth. You know that wealth, you know the power of wealth. You know the glory of wealth. So you can break up relationship with your own blood. For months and for years you can break up relationship. When you know the power of wealth, you recognize the pleasure of wealth, then you can sever relationship. It doesn't stop there. When you know the power of wealth, then you can take your own brother to court, take your father to court, take your mother to court. I'm talking of realities. I'm not talking of hearsay. I'm talking of reality. You can take your mother to court, you can take your father to court when you have got the recognition of wealth. You know the power of wealth, you know the pleasure of wealth, you know the protection of wealth. You can leave talking from the person, right? When you know the power of wealth, then to get that wealth, you can spend the night in your studies, right? You know the power of wealth. So up to 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, you can be awake to study the thing or to do that business at 11, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock. You're prepared to do it. Why? You understand wealth. When you understood wealth, then you see in the clout that it has. You see in wealth, you understood the power it has. You see in wealth, you see in the protection it's got. You see in wealth, you see in the pleasure that it's got. So to make that sacrifice becomes easy. Why? You got the recognition, you got the marifat of wealth. So you see the power in it, you see the pleasure in it, you see the protection in it, you see the security in it, you see everything in that wealth. When you see everything in that wealth, then that motivates you. To the extent I showed you four things, right? Even if that wealth demands on you that you need to speak a lie to do this business here, you're prepared to do it. See, the marifat of wealth, the recognition of wealth goes to that point. If that marifat of that wealth goes, that you got that complete recognition of wealth, then to delay or postpone a namaz, it's alright. Because that recognition of wealth has overwhelmed you. If it's overwhelmed you, then to forego, to delay, for a small little reason, to leave out the jamaat, it's alright. The recognition of wealth has sunken so deeply into us. The recognition of wealth goes so deeply into us, then to finance any project, get into something that is doubtful, get into something that is not totally permissible, we don't mind doing it. Make a plan and make the thing work. Right? So that recognition of wealth goes so deeply that every parameter can be broken, every line can be crossed, right? Every sacrifice you prepare to make, right? You prepare to sever a relationship. You prepare to stand up at night at that point of the night, right? You prepare to leave your hometown and move in another land. Why? Because of the recognition of wealth. I'm going to stay in South Africa, I'll be paid in rands. And if I go to America, I'll get paid in dollars. Recognition of wealth. See? So, khuda kare ke jis qadar marifat maal ka hai, usi qadar marifat khuda ta'ala ka ho jaye. If that recognition that we have of wealth, if we had that same recognition, just that same recognition of Allah ta'ala, what will it make us do? You can stand up the night, you can stand up. Sacrifice you can make. You can give up something. An old age, old habit, you can give it up. Every type of addiction can be thrown up. Why? Because of wealth. Because of the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. You got the recognition of Allah Ta'ala and it will make you do wonders. To get up for tahajjud is easy. Why? The recognition of Allah Ta'ala has come. To perform namaz becomes easy. Why? Because the recognition of Allah Ta'ala has come. To forsake a relationship on the basis of Allah Ta'ala becomes easy. Like to make a relationship for wealth becomes easy. To give up a relationship for the wealth becomes as equally easy. He bought your murk, he bought, right? 1 million rand job, he bought it and he disappeared. And he's not taking your calls. And when you spoke to him, then he saw you. Will you want to speak to the person? Just from the basis of wealth, you can sever a relationship, you can break it complete. By the same token, with the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, what will he not make you do? He will make up a relationship You will sever a relationship only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. You love for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You dislike for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, we have started off the talk. Fariduddin Ganja Shakar Rahmatullah Ali, he asked, Aqil kon hai? And he said, I asked 500 awliya-e kiram. And all 500 awliya-e kiram's answers were identical. So they said, Aqil wo hai, jisko ma'rifat-e ilahi hasil ho. Aqil is that person who's got the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. Now I explained the recognition, and I'm sure nearly all of us, including myself, we're all businessmen, so we understand it, right? You understood it, no? You understood business, you understood the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. You'll understand the power of Allah Ta'ala. You'll understand the security of Allah Ta'ala. You'll understand the pleasure that he's got, the enjoyment he's got, right? You'll understand the excitement that he's got. Just the difference between this excitement and that excitement, this is world apart, worlds apart. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ Allah Pak says that the righteous, muttaqeen, again, taqwa, right? You're not talking of إِنَّ الْعُلَمَا. See, we feel now, you know, we're an exclusive class. Why? We got ilm, so we're an exclusive class. We got the right to do things. But when Allah Ta'ala is promising, the promises also are on taqwa. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِي الْعُلَمَا Right? So the promises are on taqwa. And for this muttaqeen, what Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ They are in a place of security. With the wealth that we got here, with the material protection we've got here, right, we can't guarantee a single thing. Can't guarantee it. Can you guarantee that your health will be perfect? Can you guarantee it? One friend of mine was telling me that it was a woman from Durban, right? And she became a psychiatrist. She was posted to Mauritius, right? And she had about 40% of her private shares in a private hospital, right? Young, unmarried, right? She had about 40% shares in a private hospital in Mauritius, right? Thriving hospital. And at the age of about 32 or so, she just got a stroke of paralysis from the head to the feet. She can't even talk. Right? And the tragedy, the irony was that she got her parents here, they're working hard, right? When she got a stroke of paralysis, the hospital froze all her assets. It's only dedicated to her. For her treatment, parents got no access to her wealth. So what I'm showing you is that wealth can give you any security. What you worked for, they're trying to revive her, bring up her pain. Your health, you can't do it. Huh? The enjoyment, can it guarantee you enjoyment? That you'll eat so well, you'll enjoy so much. Can that wealth give it to you? Either that wealth goes away or your health goes away. One of the two goes. For you to be able to enjoy that wealth, you need the health. And that health is not in your control. So when Allah Pak says that the righteous will be in a place of security, it means everything is enduring. The excitement is enduring. The pleasure is enduring. Your health is enduring. Everything is continuous, lasting. Whether it's a jannat, whether it's a pleasure, whether it's whatever, but it's lasting. There's no discontinuity. Here in this world, no matter how much you worked, but just the thought that can linger in your mind, that this is not confirmed. I don't know, it's on hold, when it's going to snap, when it's going to collide, when it's going to collapse, I don't. Just that must be enough to destroy the pleasure, the guarantee or the amount of confidence that we have in this material security, this must be enough. I don't know when this is going to collapse. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ So, جس نے اپنے خدا کی معرفت حاصل کر لی, has got the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, he has got معرفت, right? See, Allah Pak has designed this world with a system, right? And he wants you to apply the system. أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا. Allah Ta'ala brought you out from the wombs, right, of your mothers, and you didn't have any understanding. You were jahil. When you came out, did you have any understanding? You were total in the state of jahalat, absolute jahalat. جَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Then the faculties of knowledge Allah Ta'ala created within you, audio, visual, right? Audio, visual. Who's created this audio, visual? Faculties of education, Allah Ta'ala created it. But audio, visual is the primary level of education. جَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. The faculty of understanding, rational reasoning, is that supersedes audiovisual. Audiovisual, even an animal has it, right? Amara was telling me just now that galloping on a horse, full gallop, right? And that thing can see at least 2 kilometers away. If there's some fear, you can apprehend it here. From here, it can see it. You hear about an eagle, right? And there's dense bush, 3 kilometers, it can see there's a rat there. It'll go straight for that thing. So its audio-visual is better than your audio-visual. So if you say that you are better rated than that animal on account of audio-visual, then you're wrong. Then the thing that is the differentiating factor between you and the animal is this power of rational reasoning, analyzing, right? That's the thing, that's a differentiating factor. And when I say that's a differentiating factor, the proof that this is a differentiating factor is if you delete the intelligence, the understanding, the power of analyzing and reasoning correctly, if you delete it, I ask you, is that man worth anything? He can't reason, he can't rational, there's no ability of understanding things in perspective. I ask you, is that man worth anything? So your worth is because of the rational, the worth is because of the reasoning, the worth is because of the understanding. The worth is because of you applying your reasoning and coming to the right end. That's your worth. If that is deleted, then you're gone. جَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. So Allah Pak wants that you use this rational. This reasoning must be used. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ. He's created this entire whole system of the universe. And then he says he regulates all the affairs. From the heavens to the earth, he regulates all the affairs. So when he says regulates, then you must also regulate your affairs. Analyze, understand, reason, apply things correctly. Right? Now look at a simple thing, right? Marriage is a human need, right? So Allah Ta'ala has created man higher than every other creation. When he's created man higher than every other creation, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We've created you above every other creation. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Then you will have a higher protocol. Your procedure towards things will be different. You will reason differently. Your protocols will be differently. Your systems will be different. And other animals, other beasts, their protocol, they will not have any protocol. They'll just do things irrationally, randomly, they will just do. Anything came into their mind, they will just do it. Right? I think it came to his mind that his partner, let me kill it. It will do it. You hear of some cats, right? If the thing small died, right? They eat the thing up. They don't feel anything about it. Huh? It's small, died, young died, and the thing eats the thing up. With relish it eats it up. So no rational, no reasoning, absolutely nothing. Right? So your rational, your reasoning is above everything else. When it's above everything else, then you're supposed to be conducting yourself above everything else. Now the circular and the Western system is that you must do everything and anything, right? But just that the public must accept you. You can do any wrong, any vice, but it must be acceptable. It must be an acceptable standard in the public. So once it's acceptable in the public eye, then you are doing things with respect. So, say about 50 years ago, right, in this country, the gay was like a very despicable thing. Most despicable, unheard of thing. like a big crime in this country, right? 60, 70 years ago, it's like a big crime. Now, right, they wanted to make it an acceptable norm. So they had to promote it, talk about it, promote it. And they promoted it to the level that it became like farz ain. You have to accept it. Or let us say not farz ain, but farz kifaya. Because if the whole community doesn't accept it, then they're in for trouble. You have to accept that. See, from where it was, and to where it is now, right? So now who's your God? The God becomes the people. They must rule your life, right? Allah Pak is no more the God. Now people must accept it. This is the standard that is acceptable, so we will go by it. Again, what they are using, they're using the brains. To lead or to mislead, they use the brains, right? And one is the West, one is within our own circles. Aren't we practicing the same? See, zina, fornication, right? Haram, right? Anything that is illicit, right? I ask you, within our own fraternity, within our own people, if a girl has to be guilty of this, is she looked at differently? And if a boy is doing it, is he looked at differently? I ask you, anybody ask, is he looked at differently? They are definitely looked at differently, right? But in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, in the law of Allah Ta'ala, is there any difference? Az-zaniyatu wa-zani fajridu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jalda. Both of them are treated identically. So the God has become the person, people, right? People have become the God, so then they must decide, right? A proposal has come, right? From a bank manager, right? A proposal has come from a bank manager, right? So he's sleeping and he's eating haram, right? His whole life is centered around haram, right? And a proposal has come, so we'll still deliberate it. But a proposal has come from a drug lord, say, you out. How can you ever think of sending a proposal? I ask you, what's the difference? This is haram. If this is jullab, this is number two. Both are out, right? Both are totally out. Both are equally disgusting. But I ask you, why do we have this type of disparity? Here, this is disgusting. That person that was a drug lord, he is disgusting. And that bank, whatever, is an insurance broker, that we can still deliberate, is materially secure. You know, it's a good thing, you know. At least our child will be secure. So, I ask you now, who is the God? Who is making the law? Is Allah Ta'ala still responsible to make the law, or is there another authority that has come? So when you talk about shirk, you know, when you teach these children the five kalimas, and وَتَبَرَّعَتُ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ إِمَانَ مُجْمَلَ and إِمَانَ مُفَسَّلَ وَتَبَرَّعَتُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ, I ask you, is this a type of shirk or not? يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالُوا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَائِمْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ Allah na'abuda illallah, wa la nushrika bihi shay'an, wa la yattakhidha ba'duna ba'dan arbaban min dunillah. Look at this ayat, how clear it is. So now, we need to understand that the law is made by someone else. The system is made by someone else. We're living in borrowed property. It's not our own land, it's someone else's land that we are living in. Then, the obvious thing is, when we're living in someone else's land, that we need to behave. It's your house that I'm living. You have taken me as a guest. Then I need to behave myself. It's a land of Allah Ta'ala that we're living. And now we're behaving ourselves. Or if you know, it's my land, I can do as I please. Allah Pak is saying, it's mine. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And you saying, it's mine, I can do what I want. With my wealth, I can do what I want. With my land, I can do what I want. With my instruments, I can do what I want. And Allah Pak is saying, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything belongs to me. You have got it just on loan. You have got it just on loan. This doesn't belong to you. So when you are a guest, then respect the property of the one that is loaning it to you. Respect his land, respect his premises, respect the wealth that he's given you.